Friday, November 4th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, it's Friday. We turn to our Ask the Pastor segment. Again, if you have a question that you would like Harry to address, send us your questions at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Harry, our question comes from Pam. She asks, when does the soul enter the body of a person? And she follows that up with, do all babies dying from miscarriages and abortions go to heaven?
So let me try to answer it this way for you. When did Adam become a person? Not when he had a body, but when God breathed into him the spirit of life or the soul. A person cannot be a person without the soul. And we believe that life begins at conception, therefore the spirit or the soul is there at conception. From the moment of personhood, an individual has a soul or a spirit, and everything that's a part of that body is present. The only thing that's going to happen is it's going to develop through nurture in terms of size and definition from conception on. Another reason we know that is because death is defined as the absence of the soul from the body, the separation of the soul from the body. Then if babies that are miscarried or babies that are aborted, what happens to them? That is an excellent question in terms of what about their soul and what about their status for eternity. Well, the Bible tells us that when Adam sinned, we all sinned. So everyone's sin record begins at conception, which is why David said, in sin, my mother conceived me. His sin record began right there at his conception. Therefore, we're rightly under the judgment of God because we participated in Adam when Adam sinned. That's what we call federal headship. But there is a second Adam who has his seed within him, and that is Jesus, and that is called the elect of God, who is the one who justifies, God justifies. God justifies his elect through the atoning work of Christ, who pays for all the sins of all of his people for all of eternity. Normally, we see the outworking of God's electing decrees in the salvation of individuals. We see it through the gospel coming, the Holy Spirit giving them eyes to see, ears to hear, and faith and repentance, whereby they come to Christ, and thus the elect are manifested by their reception of the gospel and the transforming work of God's grace, revealing that they are justified and adopted as they're being sanctified, the evidence of sanctification, and then the consummation of their glorification. But what about those in the womb? And even beyond that, what about those with the implications of sin's curse upon humanity that have certain deformities or certain disabilities that do not enable them to hear or respond to the gospel? What would the Bible tell us about that? Well, I have a sermon on this, the seven implications that those babies in miscarriage, those that are aborted, while the Bible never propositionally declares that they are numbered with the elect, our confession says that all such elect infants dying in infancy are with Christ for all eternity, with a designated new body for the new heavens and the new earth and a right standing with God because they are under the atoning work of Christ. Not because they're innocent, no, we're all guilty, but because they are under the atoning work of Christ. Now you say to me, well, why didn't the Bible just clearly say that they're numbered with the elect? Well, the Bible doesn't because the Bible knows our depravity. If you've actually thought and knew that aborted children were numbered with the elect, and there was a propositional statement, in our hardness of heart, we would begin to say what people say to me all the time, all those babies are going to heaven. There's this almost this thought that if we abort, then we're doing the Lord's work to get them to heaven. That's what I call demonic logic or the logic of the devil. That's like saying, since grace abounds more than sin, then let sin more. That's demonic logic. And so knowing that we have in the world this demonic logic, then God doesn't say those things propositionally lest we become insensitive to the issues of the sanctity of life or to infant mortality or to the care for those who are drastically disabled. As far as the soul itself, Upon death, the soul is in the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body, what's absent from the body? The soul is present with the Lord. The body is in the grave. On the second coming of Christ, the body will be raised into a new body for the new heavens and the new earth, and the soul and the body are reunited in glorification. The intermediate state, we are with the Lord in a spiritual state that is observable in the presence of the Lord, but our body is raised when Christ comes again. And of course, the picture was in the resurrection of Christ himself. His soul went to be with the Father, just like the thief on the cross in paradise, also called Abraham's bosom, also called the third heavens in the Bible. His human soul went to the presence of the Lord. His body went to the grave. But the fulfillment of Psalm 16, the body of the Messiah would not suffer decay, but raised on the third day, and the soul reunited in the resurrected Christ, which becomes the pattern and the profile for what happens to us. Our soul goes to this intermediate state, which is not the final state, but is one of joy and blessing. Yet the anticipation, how long, O Lord? And then the body is raised at the second coming, and God's justice is brought forth. And out of God's justice, we who have been redeemed, the body is raised for a new body and a new heavens and a new earth. And that will be our eternal dwelling place.
Harry, I've had people come to me and ask this question, and I've taken them to Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. I can't give a definitive answer, but I can talk about the attributes of God.
That's right. And we're never going to be more merciful or more wise than God. David said of his child dying in infancy, they asked him why he no longer was weeping. He said, well, while he was sick, I was weeping and calling upon the Lord in repentance of my sin, and that he might spare my son. But once God had taken him, I now put on the robes of rejoicing, because where he is, there I will be with him also. We see Jesus bringing the children to himself and doing something he never does at any other time in his ministry. He laid hands on them and blessed them and declared, as such are the kingdom of God. God is capable of converting in the womb. John the Baptist was brought to spiritual life. He was quickened in the womb of Elizabeth. We see Jeremiah called from the womb. So while God normally calls people in life outside the womb, he can extraordinarily convert within the womb, as he did Jeremiah and John the Baptist. Tom, I know we normally take two questions on these days, but this one was a pretty extensive question. To sum it up, let me just simply say, personhood requires the soul. So we know that an individual is a person at conception. Therefore, the soul is present at conception. Therefore, if that embryo is destroyed, the soul goes into eternity. And I believe there's the circumstantial evidence that such infants are numbered with the elect and under the atoning grace of Jesus. None are innocent because we all died in Adam, but the remedy is the second Adam, and the second Adam redeems all of his race, which is the elect of God, from every tribe and nation and from every possible condition can he save us. And I believe that the seven circumstantial statements in the scriptures would allow us to have the comfort to know that God's mercy and wisdom has anticipated this and deals with this, and they are numbered with the elect and under the atoning grace of the Lord Jesus.
If you would like to access the sermon Harry referred to today, Infants, Death, or Salvation, go to briarwood.org/audio/series/baptism-in-biblical-perspective/. If you have a question for Harry Reeder, write to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Thanks for being with us this week. Have a wonderful weekend. Be sure and join God's people in the worship of our Heavenly Father on Sunday. Then stop by again on Monday for a conversation and a biblical worldview application as we put the issues of today in perspective.